ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురున్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. సో ఎవ్రీ వీక్ ఆన్ వెడ్నెస్డే యూ హ్యావ్ దిస్ నెక్టర్ ఆఫ్ డివోషన్ క్లాసెస్ అండ్ సిన్స్ గోవింద్ ప్రభు ఇస్ నాట్ అవైలబుల్ దిస్ ఈవినింగ్ హీ ఆస్క్డ్ మీ టు స్పీక్ ఆన్ అ సర్టన్ సబ్జెక్ట్ ఫర్ ద లాస్ట్ ఫ్యూ వీక్స్ we have been discussing in this class on nectar of devotion about the five most important limbs of devotional service or panchanga bhakti. And what are the five most limbs of devotional service has been explained by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami very clearly explains how service to the holy name nama seva, service to the Vaishnavas వైష్ణవ సేవ, సర్వీస్ టు ద శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం భాగవత సేవ, సర్వీస్ టు ద డీటీస్ విగ్రహ సేవ, అండ్ సర్వీస్ టు ద హోలీ ధామ్ ధామ్ సేవ, ఆర్ సర్వీస్ టు శ్రీమతి తులసీ మహారాణి ఆర్ ద మోస్ట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ ఎలిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్. అండ్ గోవింద్ ప్రభు రిక్వెస్టెడ్ మీ టు స్పీక్ అ లిటిల్ బిట్ అబౌట్ ద థర్డ్ ఎలిమెంట్, దట్ ఈస్ భాగవత్ సేవ. He asked me to speak this evening on the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we shall be covering this topic under the following headings. First we shall discuss what is the identity of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Who is Srimad Bhagavatam? Secondly, we shall discuss what is the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Thirdly, we shall be talking of who spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to whom? And this is a very interesting question in practically all question papers in India. Who spoke to whom? In every language question paper, English, Hindi, Marathi, they have this. Who spoke to whom? Kisne kisse kaha? Right. So who spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to whom? What are the different mentions given in the Bhagavatam? And finally, what are the benefits that a sadhaka can get by serving the Srimad Bhagavatam, by giving submissive oral reception to the subject matter mentioned therein? So the first question is, who is the Srimad Bhagavatam? What is the identity of the Srimad Bhagavatam? A general person, a layman on the street, would treat the Srimad Bhagavatam as any other book. A book with papers and some ink smudged on it. However, before even a person embarks on his journey to study the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is important for him to systematically understand the identity of Bhagavatam. Shripad Sanatan Goswami, in his Tavamala, through several different examples, explains who is Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Shastrabdhi Piyusha సర్వవేదేషు సత్ఫల సర్వ సిద్ధాంత రత్నాఢ్య సర్వలోకైక దృక్ప్రద సర్వ శాస్త్రాబ్ధి పీయూష. ఆల్ ద డిఫరెంట్ స్క్రిప్చర్ శాస్త్ర ఆర్ లైక్ అ హ్యూజ్ ఓషన్ అబ్ధి. శాస్త్రాబ్ధి మీన్స్ అ హ్యూజ్ ఓషన్ ఆఫ్ స్క్రిప్చర్స్. దెర్ ఆర్ ద వేదాస్, దెర్ ఆర్ ద పురాణాస్, దెర్ ఇస్ ద మహాభారత్, ద రామాయణ, and there are millions and millions and millions of verses constituting the different scriptures. Therefore, for us to study all the scriptures, especially in a day and age like today, is near to impossible. And all the different scriptures do not constitute teachings of pure devotional service. There are many, many other elements like karma kand, jnana kand mixed in the scriptures. So all the scriptures are compared to a huge ocean. Just like there was the ocean of milk, the Kshira Sagar. And all of us know the Bhagavad describes the story of Samudra Manthan. How when the ocean was churned using the Mandarachal Parvat, what came out first was the Halahal poison. This Halahal poison was rejected away. And the churning continued. The poison was removed, the churning continued. And later as the ocean of milk was being churned, nectar came out of the ocean. And then the story continues how the nectar was stolen by the demons and the Lord appeared as Mohini. Just like the ocean of milk was churned, the poison was removed and then the nectar came out. Similarly, the scriptural ocean or the ocean of scriptures was churned by Shripad Vyasadeva. And when this ocean of the scriptures was churned by Shripad Vyasadeva, what came out first was the poison. The dirty poison of dharma, artha, kama and moksha was rejected. Right at the onset of the Srimad Bhagavatam, this kind of cheating religiosity, kaitav dharma, is rejected. It is considered as poisonous from the spiritual point of view. Just as the halahal poison was removed from the ocean of milk, the poison of dharma, artha, kama and moksha was removed from the ocean of the scriptures. And then when the further churning continued, nectar came about. Sarva shastra abdhi piyusha. When the ocean of scriptures was churned out, the poison of dharma, artha, kama, moksha was thrown out, then the piyusha or the nectar came out. That nectar is the Srimad Bhagavatam. After all the dirt of contamination of karmakand, jnanakand is removed from the Vedic literatures, then the condensed nectar, piyusha, is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Vedaika Satphala. All the Vedic literatures, if they are compared to a huge tree, then on this huge tree of the Vedic literatures, Eka Satphala, there is only one fruit that has come about. Generally, when you have a tree with several other fruits hanging down there. But this tree, which is compared to all the Vedic literatures, has got only one fruit. That ripened fruit, the essence of all the Vedic literatures, is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadhya. And just like sometimes women go to the jeweler shop and they want to buy a necklace. When a lady goes to a jeweler's shop to buy a necklace, then a necklace is not known for the pearls in it. You don't go and say, just give me a pearls necklace. Because practically every necklace will have some pearls strung together. What a necklace is known for is the kind of pendant that hangs in that necklace, or the locket that hangs in that necklace. It is the pendant or the locket that beautifies that necklace. So all the different philosophies are compared to the pearls. But Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to the pendant or locket that beautifies and gives meaning to all philosophies. Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadhya. It is that ratna, it is that pendant that gives meaning to any philosophy. Sarva Lokaika Drikprada. All the scriptures are speaking, okay, you want to make progress in life, follow the path of karma, follow the path of jnana, follow the path of yoga. Srimad Bhagavatam unequivocally tells all of us to follow one path. Not many paths are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is a unidirectional path that is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Loka Eka Drik Prada. Drik means direction or sometimes vision. Sarva Loka, to all people in this world, Eka Drik Prada. It provides one direction, one vision. And what is that? Pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the nectar that has come out after churning the ocean of scriptures. Srimad Bhagavatam is that ripened fruit, that one fruit which has grown on the tree of the Vedic literatures. Srimad Bhagavatam is that beautiful ratna, that beautiful pendant that decorates all philosophies. Bhagavatam is that scripture which gives one direction, one path, the path of pure devotional service to Krishna. Further, Sanatana Goswami explains, Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavatam Prabho Kali Dhvanto Ditaditya Shri Krishna Parivartita. He explains, Sarva Bhagavata Prana. Srimad Bhagavatam is the prana, the life of all the devotees of the Lord. Just like we have the soul within our body, it is the life force that makes our body active. It is the force that makes our body mobile. As soon as the life force, the soul leaves the body is considered to be dead. So Shripad Sanatana Goswami says that Srimad Bhagavatam is the soul of a devotee. If the Srimad Bhagavatam is not present in the life of a devotee, then it is like a soulless body, right? A dead body. Therefore, Shripad Sanatana Goswami urges upon us, since Bhagavatam is the life and soul of a devotee's life, a devotee must regularly read Srimad Bhagavatam. Further, Sanatana Goswami explains that this age is the age of Kali, and it is pervaded with the darkness of ignorance. Srimad Bhagavatam is like the sun, the Aditya, which has risen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. These are the seven analogies that are given by Shripad Sanatana Goswami to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. The nectar that comes out of the ocean of scriptures, one. The ripened fruit that has grown on the tree of the Vedic literatures, two. The beautiful pendant that decorates all philosophies, three. That path which gives one path, pure devotional service. Fifth, it is the life and soul of the devotees of the Lord. Sixth, it is the sun which has risen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. Now someone may say, very beautiful comparisons, very beautiful analogies. Sanatana Goswami now makes his final point in the last line of this verses and explains to us the real identity of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Who is the Srimad Bhagavatam? Do not think that the Srimad Bhagavatam is simply a book. Do not think that these are a few papers and there is some ink that is smudged on it. Who is the Srimad Bhagavatam? Sri Krishna Parivartita. 5,000 years back, Krishna left this planet and went back to his original abode, Goloka Vrindavan. According to the words of Sanatana Goswami, Shri Krishna Parivartita. Lord Sri Krishna has once again returned to this world. This time, he has returned to this world in a special form. When Krishna takes the form of Narsingh, form of half man and half lion, he is called as Narsingh Avatar. When Krishna takes the form of a tortoise, he is known as Kurma Avatar. When Krishna takes the form of a fish, he is known as Matsya Avatar. When Krishna takes the form of a book, he is known as Granthavatar. And that Granthavatar is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is Lord Sri Krishna himself, according to what Sanatana Goswami says in Stavamala, who has returned back for the deliverance of the conditioned souls in this age of Kali Yuga. Sri Krishna Parivartita. Krishna has personally returned back once again in this age of Kali Yuga in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, when we are reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, or when we are hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, or for that matter, practically speaking, when we are even handling the book Srimad Bhagavatam, we should treat the Srimad Bhagavatam with great awe and reverence, the same way as we treat the deity form of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada was mentioning in one lecture, and appreciating the Sikhs. Srila Prabhupada was saying that when I once visited the Gurudwara, I saw how the Sikhs very reverentially worship the Granth Sahib. The Granth Sahib is put on the altar, and there are garlands that are offered to the Granth Sahib, and there are the devotees who are offering chamar to the Granth Sahib. And Srila Prabhupada was mentioning in this lecture, Similarly, devotees of the Lord should very reverentially worship the Srimad Bhagavatam. But worshipping the Srimad Bhagavatam does not simply mean offering garlands and flowers. Worshipping the Srimad Bhagavatam means hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam, and reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. Or as sometimes devotees say, Bhagavad Gita as it is, kept as it is in the shelf. Right. So very often Srimad Bhagavatam is taken and kept as it is in the shelf. Oh, worshipping Srimad Bhagavatam. It is on the altar. The best worship of the Srimad Bhagavatam is hearing, glorifying, and reading. So it is very clear to us now that the Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Lord Krishna. Sri Krishna Parivartita. As one devotee was mentioning, Srimad Bhagavatam is incarnation hat-trick. Right. Just like you have in cricket, hat-trick. So Srimad Bhagavatam is incarnation hat-trick. How is it incarnation hat-trick? Number one, Srimad Bhagavatam is itself an incarnation of Krishna. The Granthavatar. Secondly, it describes about the incarnations of Krishna. Matsya, Kurma, Narsingha, etc. And it is written and compiled by an incarnation of Krishna, Vyasadeva. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is incarnation hat-trick. Right. Compiled by an incarnation, describing incarnations, and Bhagavatam itself is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, Shri Hari. So this is the answer to the first question as to what is the identity of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself, Granthavatar, incarnation of Krishna in a book form. So the second question is, what is the purpose of speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam? The purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam is described in the Bhagavatam itself. And very often this verse is not given much attention to, because it comes in one of those complex chapters in the Srimad Bhagavatam, right? When the topics of creation and manifestation of Brahma and things like that come, then devotees feel too complex and technical. So some of the very gem-like verses are very often overlooked because it's clubbed together with many technical verses. But in one of those chapters, in a beautiful verse, the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam is explained. And the first person who spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam is also very beautifully explained. Soham drinam kshulladu sukhaya dukham mahat gatanam viramayatasya pravartaye bhagavatam puranam yadaha sakshat bhagavan rishibhya. What is the purpose of speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam? Soham nrinam. Nrinam means the people of this world. What are the people of this world engaged in? The people of this world are engaged in kshulla sukhaya. Kshulla sukh. Those who know Marathi, they know the meaning of this word kshulla. Very insignificant. Very minuscule. Temporary. Kshulla sukhaya. People of this world are running after kshulla sukhaya, after minuscule, insignificant, temporary happiness, kshulla sukh. But it is not an easy deal. It is not a cheap deal. People who are running after this kshulla sukh, in order to achieve this insignificant happiness, what do they have to go through? Dukham mahat gatanam. In order to get that insignificant, minuscule happiness, people of this world have to go through great amount of distress and anxiety. Kshulla sukh and mahat dukh. These are the two phrases used in the shloka. Right. Kshulla sukh means insignificant happiness, and mahat dukh means great amount of distress, great amount of anxiety. And practically, all of us have got this experience. That if we want to pursue material happiness, it could be even a little happiness of this world, how hard do we have to work for that? Right. जय श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ भगवान की, शिष्य निताय गौर चंद्र भगवान की, श्री गोपाल जी भगवान की। सो वी हैव गॉट दिस एक्सपीरियंस हाउ वी हैव टू रन, व्हेन वी आर रनिंग आफ्टर इवन इनसिग्निफिकेंट हैप्पीनेस वी हैव टू वर्क सो हार्ड। प्रभुपाद वुड से फोमिंग एट द माउथ लाइक एन एस, राइट? We have to literally be foaming at the mouth like an ass, working hard day and night, and after that hard day's work, then we get some food to eat, or then we get some kshulla sukh. And Prabhupada would very often say this, these people are working so hard for this happiness, but a person who is earning 40 rupees a month is a day is also eating 4 chapatis, and a person who is earning 40,000 rupees a month is also eating 4 chapatis. Right? But for that kshulla sukh, महत दुख, ग्रेट अमाउंट ऑफ डिस्ट्रेस और एंग्जाइटी हैज टू बी टेकन बाय द लिविंग एंटिटी एंड द मटेरियल एनर्जी इज प्रॉमिसिंग। यू कम हियर, यू डू दिस एंड यू विल गेट हैप्पीनेस, जस्ट डू इट एंड यू विल बी हैप्पी, राइट? जस्ट लाइक वन टाइम देयर वाज अ किंग एंड ही वाज सिटिंग ऑन हिज थ्रोन एंड सडनली ही हर्ड देयर वाज अ स्ट्रीट हॉकर वॉकिंग बाय एंड ही वाज शाउटिंग, fan that will last for your life only in 5 rupees. Buy a fan that will last throughout your life only for 5 rupees. 5 rupees mein, 5 rupees mein pankha, jeevan bhar chalega, right? He was shouting loud. So the king thought, very good proposal, right? 5 rupees fan and it will last throughout life. Very nice. So he called this man. He said, I want one of your fans. So the king arranged that this man be paid 5 rupees and purchase this fan. So the hawker went. And the king started fanning, right? And as he started fanning, in less than 5 minutes the fan broke, right? The king was very annoyed. This guy was making a claim that buy a fan in 5 rupees and it will last throughout your life. And within less than 5 minutes the fan is broken. So the king arranged one of his soldiers to go and find out this hawker and bring him there. So the soldier went and brought the hawker in the king's palace. And the king said to him, how dare you cheat people like this? You are saying that in 5 rupees you can buy this fan and it will last throughout your life. It hasn't even lasted for less than 5 minutes. How can you make such a claim? The hawker replied, my dear king, you don't know how to use the fan. You are not supposed to move the fan. You are supposed to keep the fan stationary and move your head. Right. You see? These are the false promises that are made by the material energy. It appears on these billboards and huge hoardings, cheap happiness, just do this and you will be happy. And when you actually get there, that happiness is not like that. It is you who have to move your head. It is you who have to work so hard. It is you who have to put so much effort to get that kshulla sukha. Soham drinam kshulla sukhaya dukham mahat gatanam viramaya tasya viramaya. Now those who have studied Marathi and Sanskrit know the meaning of the word viram. Purna viram. Viram means a full stop, right? The Supreme Lord wants to put a full stop to these foolish efforts of the conditioned living beings in this world. The conditioned living beings in this world are running after kshulla sukh and taking mahat dukkha on their head, so much suffering. The Lord says, no, I don't want them to go through all of that. I want to put a full stop to this chain. I want to put a full stop to these foolish activities of my own sons. Right. Mahad gatanam viramaya tasya viramaya. To put a full stop. To stop. To mitigate this distress. Pravartaye. Pravartaye. At the beginning of creation, Bhagavatam Puranam, the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. Who spoke? Yadaha Sakshat Bhagavan Rishibhya. Yadaha Sakshat, it was spoken Sakshat, personally, directly. By whom? Bhagavan Rishibhya. By the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aray, what a wonderful combination. Srimad Bhagavatam is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right. So this verse very clearly explains what is the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is it? the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to put a full stop to the foolish pursuits of Kshullasukh, insignificant, minuscule happiness, which is accompanied by Mahat Dukkha, great amount of distress and great amount of anxiety. Krishna wants that we take to devotional service and give up these foolish pursuits of material happiness in this world. Go back to Him in the spiritual world and enjoy an eternal life full of knowledge and full of bliss. That is the purpose of the human form of life. One time a student was sitting in the classroom and the teacher asked the student a question. So, my dear students, who is more intelligent, a horse or a man? The student replied by saying, "Madam, the horse is more intelligent than a man." The teacher got wild. "You are crazy. It is human beings who come to school and learn mathematics, history, geography. How are you saying horse is more intelligent than man?" The student replied back by saying, "Madam, till now I have seen men paying huge amounts of money going to the race course to see horses running. I have never seen horses coming to stadiums and seeing men running." Right. Have you ever seen horses coming to a stadium seeing men running? This is the folly of human society. Even an animal is better off that it does not go after meaningless pursuits in life. But a human being goes after meaningless pursuits in life to stop this and to give a meaning to the life of the living beings in this world. The Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by the Lord. The third question was, who spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to whom? Kisne kisse kaha? Right. Every question paper, as I mentioned in the beginning, you know, every language question paper had this question right from my childhood. Whether I wrote my English paper or my Marathi paper or my Hindi paper or my French paper or my German paper, it always said, who said to whom? Right. History also, who said to whom? History, it's special. Who said this to whom? Right. So here we have the history of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And who said this to whom? There are at least four to five different mentions of the Srimad Bhagavat being spoken and compiled right in the Bhagavatam itself. When we discussed about the purpose of Bhagavatam, it said, Yad Aha Sakshat Bhagavan. It was first spoken by the Lord at the beginning of creation. So it is explained that how, when within the universe, the lotus flower sprouted from the navel of Garbhodakashaya Vishnu, Lord Brahma, the first created living being, was born on that lotus flower. People sometimes wonder, why is it that people in this world are so confused, so absolutely bewildered, without any path in their life, without any goal in their life, they're just running after meaningless pursuits. Why is that so? The birth of the first created living being begins with confusion. And this is Brahma with his four heads, right? Confused, what to speak of we with our one head. Wouldn't we be confused? Wouldn't we be bewildered about what the goal of life is? Brahma was born and he did not know who he was. He did not know what the purpose of life was. He did not know why he was right there. He did not know what his source was. And in order to find out where he came from, Brahmaji entered into the stalk of that lotus flower, the stem, right? It was like a pipe, and from on top, the lotus flower was there, and Brahmaji entered into that stem, trying to find out where he had come from, and he went right up to the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and the waves of the Garbhodak ocean tossed up so high, Brahma became very much afraid, and once again ran on the top of the Srimad Bhagavatam, on the top of the lotus flower. The third canto explains this. Right. And there he heard these two syllables, ta, pa. And for 1,000 celestial years, Brahmaji performed austerity. And Brahmaji heard the Srimad Bhagavatam directly from the lotus lips of the Lord. within his heart. Right. Tene Brahma Hrida Ya Adikavai. That is the real system of transmission of knowledge. The Bhagavatam is a process of inside out, not outside in. Brahmaji received the knowledge within his heart, from the Lord within his heart, and then inside out, from within, he spoke it to Narada, his son. Right now we are in the process of outside in. We are taking this knowledge from outside and putting it inside. Right. Assimilating, that is the process of sadhana bhakti. Hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, assimilating that essence, practicing the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and one day what will happen? The same teachings will turn into realization and the same knowledge will come inside out. Right. Like what happened to Brahmaji. So the first person to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam was Brahma. The Lord spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma. In how many verses? 4 verses. Can you imagine? Chatushloki Bhagavat. There were only 4 verses that Lord spoke to Brahmaji. Isn't it quite interesting? Now we have 18,000 verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Brahmaji heard it in 4 verses only. Right. Now when we go to colleges, if the teacher says that, you know, actually the subject of mathematics is to be covered in 5 books, but I will teach you in 4 statements. We'll realize either I am wrong or she is wrong. Something is wrong somewhere. Right. But when the Lord spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma, he spoke it simply in 4 verses. And Jiva Goswami explains that the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam is just like cotton. If you have cotton, cotton has got thousands of fine strands. If you work on it carefully, you can very slowly separate fine minuscule strands of the cotton, and that can be hundreds and thousands of them. At the same time, you can make cotton into a small little ball and put it in your ear. Right. In Maharashtra, people have this tradition. Right. They take scent, you know, they call it attar, and they put it in a small cotton ball. This small, they just turn it into a small little thing and put it in their ear. I am still not able to understand why they do that. But they put it in, right? So cotton can be turned into a small ball, or the same ball of cotton, you can separate out the strands and hundreds of them can come out. That is the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. It can be condensed in 4 verses as given to Brahmaji, or it can be expanded into 18,000. Why 18,000? 18 million. Why 18 billion? 18 billion. Why 18 billion? 18 zillion. As many verses, depending on who is the audience, depending on who is the receptacle of this knowledge, right? So this is the first mention of the Bhagavatam. Who spoke to whom? The Lord spoke to Brahmaji. The second mention comes also in the 3rd canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahmaji has 4 sons, as all of us know, the Chatush Kumaras. Sanak, Sanatan, Sanandan and Sanat Kumar. It is described that at the base of the Garbhodak ocean, Lord Sankarshan resides. And the 4 sons of Brahma, one fine day, wanted to know about the Supreme Lord Vasudev. Therefore, they came from the heavenly planets via the Akasha Ganga. Prabhupada explains, in the previous ages, or even today for that instance, Prabhupada explains, there are some yogis who can travel via water, right? They can come from underneath water. Like Prabhupada explains, some yogis live in the Himalayas. And if they have to come for Kumbh Mela in Ujjain or in Nasik, they just go one fine morning and take a dip in the river Alaknanda or in the river Ganga there, at Haridwar or at the base of the Himalayas. And then after a few hours or after a few minutes, they are in Nasik or in Ujjain, right, via Ganga. These are the kind of mystic powers that yogis have. So the 4 Kumaras came via Akash Ganga to see Lord Sankarshan. And it is explained that already their hair was wet because of the waters of the river Ganga. And what is the waters of the river Ganga? It is the Charanamrit of Lord Vishnu. Those waters which have washed the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu is called Vishnupadi or Ganga. Right? So they are holding the Charanamrit of Lord Vishnu on their head, and now they are in front of Lord Sankarshan, touching the lotus feet of Lord Sankarshan. Charan. Their hands are at the Charan of the Lord, and their head is holding the Charanamrit of the Lord. So it's like a bumper draw, right? Double fortune. Touching the lotus feet and having on their heads the waters that have washed the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Sri Sankarshan. They glorified the Supreme Lord out of affection and love and choice poetry. The Supreme Lord Sankarshan was very beautiful. His eyes were closed in meditation on his worshipable Lord Sri Vasudev. Sankarshan very mercifully half opened his eyes. And on being inquired by the four Kumaras, it was Lord Sankarshan who spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to the four Kumaras. Right. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, thus it appears that the Srimad Bhagavatam has been spoken since ages, even before it was compiled by Vyasadev. Right. So the first mention is it was spoken to Brahma. The second mention is it was spoken to the sons of Brahma, the four Kumaras. Now, after the Bhagavatam was spoken by Lord Sankarshan to the four Kumaras returned back. And there was one sage named Sankhyayan Muni. He came and he pleaded with the four Kumaras, please give me the knowledge of the absolute truth. So the Chatush Kumar, especially Sanat Kumar explained Srimad Bhagavatam to Sankhyayan Muni. Sankhyayan Muni had two leading disciples. Their names were Brihaspati and Parashar Muni. So once when Sankhyayan Muni was speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam, Brihaspati and Parashar both heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from Sankhyayan. So Sankarshan to Sanat Kumar, Sanat Kumar to Sankhyayan, Sankhyayan to Brihaspati and Parashar. Right. So when Parashar Muni heard the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an interesting story that took place. Parashar Muni was one time conducting a huge fire sacrifice. And as he was engaged in the execution of the yajna, there were several demons who were coming and disturbing the performance of the fire sacrifice. So as these demons were disturbing the performance of the fire sacrifice, right, Parashar Muni decided to somehow or the other kill all of the demons. So he initiated another sacrifice to kill all these demons one after another. Pulatsya is the father of all demons. Pulatsya thought, my God, Parashar, it looks, is going to finish off my entire race. He rushed to Vasishtha and said to Vasishtha Muni, look what this Brahmana Parashar is doing. Looks that he is going to exterminate my entire race from the face of the world. Kindly do something. Save my sons. So Vasishtha Muni came and requested Parashar. My dear Parashar, you are a Brahmana. After all, it was one of those demons who killed, actually one of the demons had killed his father. Sorry. Right. Parashar's father was killed by one of the demons. It was one of the demons who killed your father, so why are you killing all of these different demons? You should forgive them. And on the plea made by Vasishtha Muni, Parashar forgave these demons. He spared them. Pulatsya was very happy. He said he has proven his quality as a Brahman. Kshama rupam tapasvinam. He forgave all of my sons for what they had done. Pulatsya benedicted Parashar. Right. My dear Parashar, because you have forgiven all of my sons, you have stopped this mass massacre of all of my sons, I benedict you. The knowledge that you have got from Sankhyayan Muni, the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will be one of the most popular and known speakers on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right. So Parashar Muni became an authority on speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, the knowledge which he got from Sankhyayan Muni because of the blessings of Pulatsya. Right. Now Maitreya Rishi approached Parashar Muni and said to Parashar, my dear sir, you have heard the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right. From Sankhya and Muni, kindly give that knowledge to me. Maitreya Rishi got that knowledge from Parashar. And then Vidura inquired from Maitreya Rishi. And thus, in the Bhagavatam, a significant section is Maitreya Vidura Samvad. Right. Significant section of the third canto and the fourth canto constitutes Maitreya Vidura Samvad. Right. Shukdeva Goswami comes later in the fifth canto. Right. So, Sankarshan to Sanat Kumar, Sanat Kumar to Sankhyayana, Sankhyayan to Brihaspati and Parashar, Parashar to Maitreya, and Maitreya to Vidura. Many people, who spoke to whom, right? First Sanat Kumar spoke to, first Lord Sankarshan to Sanat Kumar, then Sanat Kumar to Sankhyayan, in this way many people spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam in a chain of parampara. So this is the second mention of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself. The third mention comes about the compilation of the Bhagavatam. This is about the Bhagavat being spoken before it was written down, before it was compiled. After this, we know of the popular story of how Shripad Vyasadeva had compiled all the different scriptures. He had divided the one Veda into four. He had compiled the 108 Upanishads. He had compiled the 18 Puranas. After that, he wrote the Mahabharata. Right. After which, he wrote the Vedanta Sutra. And yet, Shripad Vyasadeva was not satisfied. One day, Shripad Vyasadeva in Badrikashram was sitting on the banks of the river Saraswati at a place known as Shamyaprash and was meditating. And in his meditation, he could foresee the degradation that would come about in the age of Kali. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, had departed, had wound up his earthly pastimes and had returned back to his eternal abode, Golok Vrindavan. Krishna had gone and immediately Kali Yuga had entered in. There was such kind of degradation in Kali, one cannot even explain, right? And Srila Prabhupada explains how an astrologer, he knows the science of astrology, and therefore as soon as he sees the palm of a person, he knows what will happen in the future. An astronomer, he knows the science of astronomy, therefore as soon as he sees the stars, he knows what would happen in the future. Lunar eclipse, solar eclipse, and so on and so forth. Srila Prabhupada writes similarly, a great personality like Vyasadeva knows the science of scriptures, the science of spirituality, and therefore as soon as he sees the world around him, he can foresee what will happen in the future. An astronomer based on the science of astronomy foresees lunar eclipse or solar eclipse. An astrologer based on the science of astrology foresees death, prosperity, what will come about. Right? Similarly, a great personality like Vyasadeva, based on the science of the scriptures, can foresee and predict what will happen in the future. Prayanalpayusha sabhya kalavasminjane yuga manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya upadrita. Manda sumanda matayo. People will be less intelligent, less fortunate. Their lifespan will reduce. Everything in Kali Yuga will go on degrading. One of my friends was telling me when he was at Haridwar, at a tea stall, he saw an interesting sign written there. And it was written, Ram Yug ka doodh, Krishna Yug ka ghee, Kali Yug ki chai phook phook ke pee. Right. This was a tea stall, and outside the tea stall this was this sign, Ram Yug ka doodh, Krishna Yug ka ghee, Kali Yug ki chai phook phook ke pee. Not only do things go on degrading from milk, ghee and tea, but everything in this age of Kali goes on degrading. Tatascha anudinam dharmyam satyam kshaucham kshama daya kalena balina rajan nankshanti ayurbalam smriti. Tatascha anudinam. Day by day as Kali Yuga progresses, right, what will happen? Dharmyam, religiosity. Satyam, truthfulness. Shaucham, cleanliness. Kshama, forgiveness. Daya, mercifulness. Ayu, age, lifespan. Balam, physical strength. Smriti, memory. Everything will be on a rapid decline. And we are witnessing that all around us. Correct. Vyasadev could foresee the degradation that would come about by the incoming Kali Yuga. And for that reason, Vyasadev had already divided the Vedas into four, compiled the Mahabharata, yet he was not satisfied. People in this world are trying to do this welfare work, but what is real welfare work? Real welfare work, as was described by one devotee very interestingly, he said, real welfare work means that welfare which is done for a large number of people and that can last for a long period of time. That is real welfare. Vyasadev wanted to do welfare for all living beings in this world and forever. In spite of wanting to do good, Vyasadev did not feel satisfied. At that time he concluded. His conclusion was, I have compiled all different scriptures, but in all of these scriptures, I have failed to describe the exclusive glories of the Supreme Lord and the exclusive glories of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. At that time, his spiritual master, Narad Muni, came there. And Narad Muni confirmed the thoughts of Vyasadev. What an interesting paradox is this. Here we find in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, the disciple, is surrendering to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. And here the Supreme Lord Krishna is calling Arjuna, you are a fool number one. Condemning Arjuna. The beginning, the opening statement of Lord Krishna is, you are a fool. Whatever you are thinking about yourself is wrong. Now exactly opposite is happening in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Here the Guru is a devotee, Narada. And who is the disciple? The Supreme Lord in his Shaktyavesh avatar as Vyasadev. Right? So here the Lord is telling the disciple, you are a fool. But now the devotee is telling the Lord that you are a cheater. Right? Narad Muni is telling Vyasadev, my dear Vyasadev, you have cheated people. In the name of religion, you have given some cheating paths to people. Already people want to enjoy their senses and you have encouraged them to the path of Karmakand and Jnanakand. Therefore now I advise you, compile a scripture where there is absolutely no traces of karma, jnana or yoga. This scripture must be exclusively dedicated to glorifying the name, the form, the qualities, the pastimes of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. This scripture must be exclusively dedicated to establish and expound the glories of devotional service, bhakti to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Compile such a scripture. And then in the maturity of his realization, Vyasadev compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. Anarthopashamam sakshat bhakti yogam adhokshaje lokasyava janato vidvams chakre satvata samhitam. Thus the great learned Vyasadev compiled chakre satvata samhitam. The satvata samhita, like you have the manu samhita, the satvata samhita. The Samhita of the devotees, the Satvatas, the Bhagavatas, the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is also known as the Satvat Samhita. So this is the third mention of the Bhagavatam in the Bhagavatam. Vyasadev compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam sitting on the banks of the river Saraswati at Shamyaprash in Badrikashram, Himalayas. Now the fourth mention comes in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I am going in a chronological order, not in terms of the cantos. In terms of the canto, first I am referring to third canto, then coming to first canto, then going to some other canto. But I am chronologically speaking in terms of history. First, Lord spoke to Brahma, then Lord to the four sons of Brahma, then Vyasadev compiled, and in this way we are talking about this. Right. So now Vyasadev has compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we know of the story of how the great grandson of the Pandavas, Maharaj Parikshit, who was the emperor of the entire planet Earth. One fine day he went to the forest on a hunting expedition. Ekada dhanurudyamya vicharan mrigayam vane mrigan anugatan shranta kshuditah trishitah bhrisham. Ekada, once upon a time, one day, dhanur udyame, Maharaj Parikshit picked up his dhanur, his bow, entered into the forest. Vicharan mrigayan vane, entered into the forest and he was running after a stag, a deer. As he was running after a stag or a deer to hunt for this deer, Maharaj Parikshit became very exhausted. Shrantah. Maharaj Parikshit became very hungry. Kshuditah. Maharaj Parikshit became very thirsty. Trishitah. These three things are mentioned. Shrantah, Kshuditah, Trishitah. He was exhausted. He was hungry. And he was thirsty. Maharaj Parikshit, in order to locate for some water to drink, entered into the hermitage of Shamik Rishi. Shamik Rishi was seated in meditation. Right. And as he was seated in meditation, he could not acknowledge the coming of Maharaj Parikshit into his ashram. Maharaj Parikshit waited, thinking that Shamik Rishi would now offer him some welcome, would now offer him some water to drink. But Shamik Rishi did not do that. Maharaj Parikshit was furious. This sage does not understand that a king has come to his hermitage. It is the duty of the sage to receive me, a guest who has come to his house. But he does not do that. In utter fury, Maharaj Parikshit, with his bow, picked up a dead snake and put it around the neck of Shamik Rishi. And Maharaj Parikshit returned home. Right. This is a popular story. We know that. Shringi, the son of Shamika, heard this. Shringi was besides himself in anger. How dare this low-class king, this Kshatriya, insult my father in this way? The dogs who are supposed to stand at the doors and defend the homes of their masters now desire to dine on the same plates as their masters. This is the impudence of this low-class Kshatriyas. Shringi took the waters of the river and did Achaman. Cursed Maharaj Parikshit, in 7 days from now a snake bird named Takshak will come and bite Maharaj Parikshit to death. Maharaj Parikshit heard this curse. Maharaj Parikshit thanked the Supreme Lord. My dear Lord, I was so much attached to family and opulence, I was not willing to surrender unto you 100%. I understand that this, you have very graciously overtaken me in the form of this curse. It is now time for me to retire from family life. Go and absorb myself in the glories of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes devotees are surprised. How is it that a Vaishnava king like Maharaj Parikshit could do such an unprecedented thing? How is it that Parikshit Maharaj went and threw a dead snake over the neck of Shamik? Srila Prabhupada points out 5 very interesting contradictions in the character of Parikshit Maharaj, in the purports. Srila Prabhupada writes, Maharaj Parikshit was in the womb of Mother Uttara. And there was a Brahmastra that had come in the womb of Mother Uttara to kill him. What is the Brahmastra? The glare of the Brahmastra is equivalent to, Prabhupada writes, millions of suns put together. Right? And Parikshit did not experience any fatigue, hunger or thirst then. Srila Prabhupada says, how is it that by this one sun today he is experiencing hunger, thirst and fatigue? Never in the past this happened. Never in the future this happened. As a matter of fact, for 7 days he did not eat a grain of food. He didn't drink any water. There was no fatigue. Why only on this one day? Number one. Number two, Srila Prabhupada explains, Maharaj Parikshit was a devotee. Right. Didn't he understand that Shamik Rishi was sitting in meditation, how hard it is to reach that state of samadhi? Like, you know, sometimes devotees are chanting Hare Krishna and someone is very absorbed in hearing the holy name and you want to do some service, would you go and disturb him? You would say, Are, I cannot get this kind of absorption. I will do it. Let him chant nicely. Right. Parikshit Maharaj, being a devotee, understood what it takes to reach this state of absorption. Yet he disturbed his meditation. Why? Thirdly, Maharaj Parikshit, right, was a devotee who was beyond honor and dishonor. A great devotee is tatha man apamanayo. Why did only on this particular day he took it as an insult, where he did not actually insult him? These are the contradictions in his character. Number four, Parikshit Maharaj as a Kshatriya, did he not know that it is a duty of a Kshatriya king to protect the cows, children, old men, what else, women, and the Brahmanas, right? Shamik Rishi was a Brahmana. He deserved protection, not punishment. And yet Parikshit punished Shamika. Why? And finally Prabhupada writes, even if he had to punish, Prabhupada actually calls it a silly action in the purport. What is this, taking a dead snake and putting it around the neck? Is it punishment? He could have imprisoned him. Prabhupada says, all of these things prove that it was the arrangement of the Lord. Parikshit Maharaj was simply acting as a puppet in the hands of the Lord. Why? Because the Srimad Bhagavatam was about to be spoken. Taking the curse of Sringi upon his head as a blessing, Maharaj Parikshit came and sat on the banks of the river Ganga. Just like if Sachin Tendulkar were to come right here at Chowpatty and play a cricket match, thousands of cricket fans would come to see what is going to happen, what is going to happen. Similarly, Parikshit Maharaj was now here on the banks of Ganga. Thousands of great sages from different planets assembled to see what is going to happen. They were not cricket lovers. They were lovers of spirituality. What is going to transpire here? How is he going to leave his body? His birth was great. His activities were great. Everything in his life has been great. His death also has to be great. Let us go and witness it. All the sages assembled there on the banks of the river Ganga. Maharaj Parikshit raised two questions. What is the duty of a person about to die? Secondly, what is specifically the duty of... what is the duty of all people at all times? Secondly, what is specifically the duty of a person about to die? At that time, entered into the assembly, the son of Shripad Vyasadeva Vyasaki or Shukadeva Goswami, dressed only in the eight directions, his beautiful blackish curly hair strewn over his face and his shoulders, all of his limbs beautifully formed, his lotus-like eyes reaching right up to his ears, this personality came in. Understanding the science of physiognomy, all the sages got up to respect the son of Vyasadeva. Everyone unanimously agreed, he should be the person who should take the seat of honor. Vyasadeva's father was sitting there. Narada was sitting there. All great personalities were sitting there. And the 16-year-old boy was given the seat of honor. Knowledge is not based on one's age. It is based on one's realization. Shukadeva Goswami sat on the dais and Parikshit Maharaj reverentially expressed his queries, and thus began Shukadeva Parikshit Samvad. Who spoke to whom? Shukadeva Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. As the Bhagavatam was being spoken on the banks of river Ganga, there were several sages seated and hearing this. The first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam now describes another incident where this samvad took place. there was a huge sacrifice that was initiated at Naimisharanya for the benefit of the living entities in general. 88,000 rishis and sages had assembled there and were performing a massive sacrifice. One of the sages there was Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami was present at the venue and the banks of River Ganga when Shukdev Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. So as Parikshit heard it from Shukdev Goswami, Suta Goswami also heard from Shukdev Goswami simultaneously. And now here he was at Naimisharanya. Shaunaka Rishi, who was the representative of all the 88,000 rishis, spoke on behalf of them and requested Suta Goswami that he speak the Bhagavatam. Therefore, the first canto, first chapter is 6 questions which are asked by the sages of Naimisharanya to Suta Goswami. And then Suta Goswami starts speaking. When Suta Goswami speaks to the sages of Naimisharanya, he says, the same question was asked once by Vidura to Maitreya, and then Maitreya Vidura Samvad comes in. Then he says, oh, the same question was asked by Parikshit to Shukdev Goswami, and then Shukdev and Parikshit Samvads come in. So in this way, our third question is answered. Who spoke this to whom? First, the Supreme Lord Himself spoke it to Lord Brahma. Second, the Supreme Lord spoke to Sanat Kumar, Sanat Kumar to Sankhyayan, Sankhyayan to Parashar, Parashar to Maitreya, Maitreya to Vidura. Third, this was now given in a written format compiled by Vyasadev. Fourth, this was spoken by Shukadev Goswami to Parikshit. And fifth, it was spoken by Suta Goswami to the sages of Naimisharanya. And now the last question, the fourth question, what is the benefit of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in several verses, the benefit of hearing and serving the Srimad Bhagavatam is described. But in this one beautiful verse, several benefits of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam are described. In the age of Kali, everyone is very much motivated. Everyone wants to do something and dedicate his life for something only when he knows what he'll get in return. Although devotional service is supposed to be unmotivated, yet at the onset, in the beginning of devotional service, people ask, what would we get by hearing, reading, glorifying the Srimad Bhagavatam? The Bhagavad describes, Yasya vaishruyamananam krishne paramapuruṣe bhaktir utpadyate pumsam shoka moha bhayapaha. Yasya vaishruyamananam, anyone who hears this Bhagavatam attentively, gives submissive oral reception to the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam, what happens to him? What are the benefits? Number one, krishne paramapuruṣe bhaktir utpadyate pumsam. Unto the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, bhaktir utpadyate, devotion to the Lord is born within the heart. When we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, we cultivate devotion to the Lord. And this is the verdict of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhaktir utpadyate pumsam. What else? Someone may say, hey, this is too far off. Devotional service is too far off. And after all, doesn't seem like it's going to give me any tangible benefit from the current point of view now. What will I get now? Right. Shoka moha bhayapaha. Everyone is affected by shoka, lamentation. Everyone is affected by moha, illusion. Everyone is affected by bhaya or fear. Right. Shoka moha bhayapaha. By giving submissive oral reception to the teachings of Bhagavatam regularly, shoka moha bhaya, illusion, lamentation and fear of material existence will be mitigated and dispelled away. But one has to hear the Bhagavatam from the right person in the right spirit. Only then it works. Srila Prabhupada would emphasize on this again and again. hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from an authentic speaker in parampara. Then and only then the Srimad Bhagavatam works. Devotion springs up in the heart. Illusion, lamentation and fear are dispelled away. So to summarize what we discussed this evening, we discussed answers to these four questions. Who is the Srimad Bhagavatam? What is the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Who spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to whom? And finally, what is the benefit of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam? Who is the Srimad Bhagavatam? Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. Based on the verse of Sanatan Goswami, we concluded. What is the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Mahat Gatanam Viramaya. To put a full stop to the foolish pursuits of living beings within this world. To give them the eternal benefit of residing in the spiritual world. The Bhagavatam was spoken. Who spoke to whom? Lord Brahma. Lord, the Supreme Lord to Lord Brahma. The Supreme Lord Sankarshan to Sanat Kumar. The compilation of Vyasadeva. Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. And Suta Goswami to the sages of Naimisharanya. And finally, what is the benefit of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam? One gets devotion to the Lord. Bhaktir utpadyate. And shoka, moha, bhaya, apaha. Illusion, lamentation and fear are dispelled. But it has to be heard in a proper spirit. There was once a great violin player. And he said that, any time I play my violin, even the wildest animals dance in ecstasy. He was brought to a circus. And this violin player, greatly absorbed, eyes closed, started playing the violin. They released a dog. The dog started dancing. They released an elephant. The elephant started dancing. They released a lion. And the lion did not dance. He started roaring. And as he started roaring, he started approaching this violin player. And slowly the violin player opened his eyes, realized, God is coming on me. He started running and the lion was running. Somehow the ringmaster came and tamed the lion, caught the lion and brought him back into the cage. This man said, my God, I didn't know how my violin works well for everyone. Why did this lion did not dance? And what did the ringmaster reply? He said, he is deaf. Right. He could not hear your violin. Right. Similarly, the sound vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam has the potency to make our hearts dance. It has the potency to revive our devotion. Bhaktir utpadyate. These ears are open, but the internal ears are closed. We are deaf. Therefore, internally, since we do not hear these vibrations, this devotion does not spring up in our heart. Thus, by faithfully serving a Vyakti Bhagavata, a person devotee, right, a personification of Bhagavatam, by service to a Vaishnava and by chanting the holy names of the Lord, we open this inner ears of our heart. And then when the sound vibration of the Bhagavatam enters in, Bhaktir Utpadyate Pumsan. Thus by Bhagavat Seva, by Vaishnava Seva, by Nama Seva, by Archa Seva and by Dhamma Seva, one can revive one's devotion to the Lord and go back home, back to Godhead. And in the nectar of devotion, these five limbs of devotion are very wonderfully explained, and Govind Prabhu requested me that I should speak on the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I am sorry to disappoint all of you that instead of Govind Prabhu I had to come here and sit. He gives nectar, but I had to come and sit here and speak. Please excuse me. But he was occupied with certain other things, so he requested me to come here and speak. In the next week, Govind Prabhu will continue with discussion of the nectar of devotion classes. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवत महापुराण की शील प्रभुपाद की गौर प्रेमानंदे।